How did we get here? Anti-Semitism? Folks, have you been paying attention to the fact that the people today that are claiming to be the victims are now the ones that are being found to be the perpetrators? For example, they love to pull your hair, they slap your face, and then when the cameras arrive to promote their propaganda narrative, they then play the victims. These groups that are created under the color of law, that are somehow given a lawful standing, this can only take place where people have become ignorant, apathetic, intolerant, that are used as political battering rams in hopes of upending the U.S. Constitution and tearing down the law. Let me explain. This is merely an attempt to overthrow our laws by enslaving the people through the ignorance of the method being used. Let's go back just 52 years where we find that the federal government illegally sanctioned the murder of their own children, so you can understand.
In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortion.
Hollywood, the music industry, television, internet, pornography, public school books, and a unified alliance of illegal promotion and advocation of fornication, adultery, and promiscuity, with the indefensible approval of the Supreme Court declaring it to be free speech to promote the act. And then when the act is fulfilled and the girl becomes pregnant, the government is right there, and to somehow justify through falsifying statistics the murder of the child by promoting what they call abortion. Here we find where insult is then added to the crime. After the woman gets an abortion where she has now seared her conscience, she then puts on a t-shirt for the world to see with all capital letters stating, "Stop the war on women." No, friends, this is murder. Our laws condemn these crimes, yet how was it sold to the American people? As a woman's choice. And if you hold to the law that condemns their crimes, keeping the baby safe, and the Americans free and preserving life, what does the mainstream media and their spin doctors resort to? Name calling. You're an anti-abortionist. Another example of this method to their madness, do you remember when the mainstream media began its push concerning the sodomite, the gay agenda? The agenda which is premised on man-boy sex? Just ask them. As a matter of fact, their motto is sex before eight, before it's too late. Do you recall the fact that when the people were calling them out for violating God's law and American law for their felonious activity, that they began, with the help of corrupt politicians, to call the people haters, bigots, homophobes, and anti-gay. And now, 20 years later, we see the millions of young victims and have now come to understand why the Lord calls these acts abominable.
A federal judge upheld a $2.5 billion bankruptcy plan for the Irving-based Boy Scouts of America. That deal would allow the organization to continue running while they pay tens of thousands of men who say they were sexually abused as children while involved in scouting.
Let me ask you again, how did they sell their agenda to the American people? As victims? Well, in fact, what we find is that they were guilty of perpetuating the crime. They do not hold the shield, people. They hold the spear. Do you see? They hate the law that exposes their crimes. What about the Muslim invasion that we're seeing across America today? Methodically, they operate just like the sodomites. These Muslims, not all, have made a public proclamation that they have come to America because they were fleeing governmental corruption and oppression.
It's often the lead story in the Twin Cities. Terror recruits coming from Minnesota, where thousands of Somalis relocated after civil war ripped their country apart in 1991.
Now, once they got their foot in the door, per se, they are making a new proclamation that they are here to conquer. Revolutionary soldier, judge, legislator, educator, schoolmaster to America, none other than Noah Webster said, "The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. The moral principles and precepts found in the scripture ought to form the basis of all of our civil constitutions and laws." He goes on, "All the evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Our citizens should early understand that the genuine source of correct Republican principles is the Bible, particularly the New Testament or the Christian religion."
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Hey, folks, I want to make sure that we all understand it applies to everybody regardless of what they say they believe. It doesn't matter what they say they believe and what they don't believe. They don't have to believe in trucks neither, but what happens if they stand in front of one? We're all, folks, all roads lead to the judgment seat of Christ, period. Hebrews 9:27, 2 Corinthians 5:15, Revelation 21, verse 8, and the list goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And I just want to make clear that We're all aware of the fact that we're not going to be judged according to the best that we have here on the earth, right? And when I say judged on a curve, you do understand what I'm saying, do you not? Like, for example, if I take a test, there's a classroom of, let's say, 30 kids, just as an example, and there's 30 kids in the room, and the one that gets the highest score, he gets a 92%, not a 100%. So what does the teacher do? He lowers the standard from 100 now to 92%, and we've been on that digression in this country for decades, friends, for centuries in this country, and how far we have fallen. So again, that makes clear sense as to what John Adams said and what he meant when he said that luxury or decadence follows luxury because we've lowered the standard. So no longer are we being, actually, Christians are, but those that profess that don't know the difference, and the heathen world doesn't take the time to understand that they're going to be judged according to Jesus Christ as the standard. There is no curve, okay? There is no curve. And again, I want to make clear that you understand what I just said. The kid that got 92% is not now the standard. And then what did they just do? They just lowered the standard to that kid that got 92%. And then what happens the next test they take? The kid gets, 85%, and then they lower the standard again. Then they get 75%, and then they lower the standard again. That's not how we're going to be judged on Judgment Day. And that's exactly what it means when we talk about a curve here, okay? I also want to highlight the fact that now understanding that when we look at who Christ is, and hopefully I'll have enough time to get to this in just a couple minutes here.
But there's a popular image of Christ as a gentle Jesus, okay? Meek and mild. Yes, he's meek. That means power under control. But was he mild? Well, because what we need to do, again, understanding who he is, not who we want him to be. He is not the popular image that they've made him out to be as a gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Law to the proud, grace to the humble. It's a false image. That's exactly what that is. It's a false image of who Jesus was incarnate on this earth. Okay, he still is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He sits at the right hand of our Heavenly Father even now. But he was also uninhibited when it comes to exposing error and denouncing sin, especially hypocrisy. People understand, Christ was a controversialist. Okay, when you stand up and you do the right things by the Spirit of God, because you're being led to do so, Romans 8:14, controversy is going to follow you. That's what I like to say in comparison or in parallel. When I say, when I step out, I am a lightning rod. I'm a lightning rod because the enemy knows the power of the Spirit of God within those that belong to him. And I want to make one more point clear before we get to this. It's interesting that Watchman Nee actually nailed this, because just the other day, it was yesterday, and it was a text from an individual talking about temperance, and it was talking about self-control and how when you mature, you begin to mellow out a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, what Bible is this person reading? I can tell you that this Bible or this person isn't reading their Bible. I'm sorry. And those that are born in the fire, they're never going to settle for the smoke. They were never born in the fire. Because the Bible says we're called to be ministers of the flames of fire. And we have a spirit of earnestness within us. And this is what I'm going to hit in just a couple minutes. Watchman Nee said, by the time the average Christian gets his temperature up to normal, everybody thinks that he has a fever. And I want to tell you why that is. Because they're carnal men. That's it. They're just carnal men. They have no idea what they're talking about. They've been feeding on the dead letter. They've never repented. And because they've never repented, they've never obeyed. Because they've never obeyed, they've never received the Holy Ghost. Acts 5:32. They've never exhibited in any sense of the word fruits of repentance. And yet they're the ones to criticize those that are on fire for the Lord. Again, remember, we're not going to be judged on a curve, friends. And we better understand that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, so is the Holy Ghost, who's been sent down from heaven to preach through us for his glory. And remember, he comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I want to say to my listeners that don't know the difference, because they're still carnal men, they're still yet in a reprobate state, you need to understand what I just said is actually applicable to everything that we are. So we're going to get to that in just a couple minutes. I want to highlight this. People, you do know and you are aware of the fact that your said representative government on the federal level and on the state level on so many fronts, not all, but a majority of them, especially on the federal level, have played the Judas on you. Luke 22:48. You have been hijacked. And what am I talking about? I want you to listen to this. And I'm probably going to have to do this on the way back. So I'll just throw something in front of what I was going to say momentarily. And then we'll get to the audio videos for you. I do want to tell you, if you want to jump online, you can do that. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. If you want to know who we are and who you're listening to, go to SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. Judge me by my fruits. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. But also go over to beforeitsnews.com. Beforeitsnews.com on social media platforms, top left side of that page. And I just want to throw this out there for you, especially to the new listeners. I would love to hear from you, pro or con, Jude 3:4, it matters not. If you want to call in, that number is 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. And I also want to let the new listener know that if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that we follow the Christ. Okay. the Constitution and heaven are our only firm and sound foundations. Buchanan said that. And what did Andrew Jackson say at the end of his life when he got saved, friends? The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. Read the preamble as well, and the end of the U.S. Constitution in the year of our Lord. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
There are other people like us out here.
Hey, you wake up, wake up. Calling all filmmakers, actors, podcasters, writers, creators, and every believer in media. Do you need to be encouraged? Are you ready to get equipped? You need empowerment. I've got the solution for you. Welcome to the Content Media Conference. Welcome to content. God wants to use your content, yes, you, to spread the message of Christ. That's why God gave us content. Content changed my life and solidified my career. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to them.
Hear me, the community.
I get really overwhelmed by content. It changed my life.
Content is all happening here.
I come to these and I'm so encouraged.
These are my people. This is where I belong.
We've got funding
that opens so many doors.
I feel that it's possible to actually be in the filmmaking industry at such a young age.
The encouragement that's given to the young filmmakers. Go get them, Tiger.
Other people praying for you.
Worried about my media students having access to productions. They need to be working. Even the facility here has been amazing.
Yeah, I think you made up your mind. I'll see you at Content.
ChristianMediaConference.com.
BBSRadio.com. At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
This is Dave Krieger, host of the Krieger Files and station manager of WEAG-FM serving Stark, Florida and surrounding areas. Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty Radio is a regular feature on this radio station as Bradley's ministry has touched tens of thousands of people who need to know the truth and know the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for that and Bradley Dean, we are thankful. Keep up the Lord's work, my friend.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 281-845-4704. We're going to start rolling here, friends. I wanted to highlight this. Did you know that in Belgium right now, Canada right now, Denmark right now, Finland right now, Hungary right now, Iceland, Ireland, Italy, Lithuania, Netherlands, Norway, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, and Switzerland are all seeking the arrest of the one that has now hijacked and has absolute extortive control over your said representatives in federal government and on a state level. And I'm talking about Mielakowski. You know him. He's Polish. Just so you know, he's Polish. He's claiming to be something that he's not. His name isn't even Netanyahu, friends. It's Mielakowski. And yet, somehow or another, you have your said representative president pulling the chair out for this guy. Here, I want to show you who he works for, and I want you to see what's happening in modern-day Israel as well. And I want to first start with this, because I was going to play this originally during the last segment, but we ran out of time. This is Ted Pike He tried to warn us back in 1987. So did Pat Buchanan. So did Barry Goldwater. I mean, folks, there's a lot of courageous individuals. You have Massey trying to do the same thing today. And people are just somehow or another just acting like it has nothing to do with them. Oh, it has everything in the world to do with you people.
This is my wife, Alin. Today, a foreign government, Israel, operates the most powerful lobby in Congress. This is AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Through control of Congress, Israel demands and gets nearly $5 billion annually. No elected official dares criticize Israel for fear the Jewish lobby will accuse him of anti-Semitism, the kiss of death for any politician. The president also knows what Israel wants, Israel gets.
1987.
To act otherwise is political suicide. The mass media, founded and controlled primarily by Jews, manipulates the spigot of information out of which Heartland America drinks. The message of this contaminated source is, if you criticize Israel, you are anti-Semitic.
Yeah, and that's just not the case. Let me go over to Barry Goldwater, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to get to Pat Buchanan's, but it was very brave, bold, and educational concerning the way that Buchanan brought it to us. But these warnings, friends, are from the same time era back in the 1980s that the American people today have completely forgotten all about.
I think Israel probably has more effect on the Congress than any country in the world, and more effect probably than... in some issues in America.
Well, Senator, that reminds me, that hasn't been mentioned in this campaign.
I know.
Well, you've watched me, everybody has watched the Israeli soldiers beating up on Palestinians for the last
This isn't 1988.
Weeks.
It's exactly what's happening today.
Israeli tail wagging the American dog.
Something's wagging the American dog. It might be the tail, it might be the leash. Well, I don't know, but they certainly run this place. They certainly run this place.
Wow.
What do you think, very briefly, United States policy should be
this
toward
is
Israel
Buchanan.
With what's going on?
I think we ought to get real tough with them, withdraw all support, till they finally sit down.
Withdraw the $3 billion in aid?
Yes, if necessary. You have to remember that the PLO, in all the history of this world, have never had a piece of land that they could call their own.
Wow. We're being told just the opposite by the current administration and the mainstream media. Isn't that what the mainstream media, the useful idiots, have been doing for a long time by giving aid and doing their best to cover for conspirators that are pulling their strings? Absolutely. Nothing new. John 8:44. Read it when you get a moment. Well, some will say, Bradley, what are you talking about? Well, I'm telling you that what you're dealing with today is not the Israel of God to the new listener. It is a counterfeit to the Israel of God. Don't ask me, ask Jesus, because he confronted them in John 8:44. He told us that they would say that they are the Jews when they lie. Okay? And they are not. He said they are the synagogue of Satan. You judge them by their fruit. Okay? That's Revelation 3:9. When you look at Romans 2:28 and 29, it talks about just because they say something doesn't mean it to be so. Okay? And then when you look at the book of Romans 9, it talks about the same thing. Just because they say they are doesn't make it so. There's a difference between the flesh and the spirit. Okay? That's all the farther I'm going to go with that. But I do want you to go over and understand that not one prime minister since the inception of modern-day Israel has used their real name, nor have they been from that certain portion of the world. They're European. So they've taken on something, friends, that's just not true. And again, maybe this explains why so many countries want him arrested. And I'm talking about none other than Mylakowski. Again, his name is not Netanyahu. That's the name they sold to you. Just like they, like the pro wrestlers when they sell names to you, friends. They're made up. They're surnames. They're not real names. Why is that? Because they're actors. They're acting out. They're playing you, right? Nobody believes in pro wrestling, and yet Jesse Ventura said pro wrestling and politics are identical. So what's the difference? There isn't one. some people that have a problem with what I'm saying to you right now, why don't you just go ahead and listen to Rothschild, Jacob Rothschild. Everybody talks about the Rothschilds, and they all talk about the Rockefellers, about, you know, those that are controlling the world, and they're evil, evil men, and they're evil families, and the list goes on. Well, of course they are. Of course they are. You don't have to take anything that I'm telling to you right now, friends. You just have to ask them. Here's Jacob Rothschild saying that he created Israel, modern-day Israel.
In modern Jewish history, and it begins with three words, Dear Lord Rothschild.
Dear Lord Rothschild, I have much pleasure in conveying to you, on behalf of His Majesty's government, the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet.
Why was it that this letter was sent by the Foreign Secretary to your great-uncle Walter?
It's an interesting question, because it was primarily a movement from Eastern Europe. But they didn't clarify who was in charge of that movement. And in addition, it was, after all, in Great Britain. So they felt that the Rothschild family should be the one to whom it was addressed. And Walter was Lord Rothschild, and he was a Zionist. And
Zionist, there you go again, friends. So you know that little blue flag you have waving around in your flag, the flag that you have waving around, friends, in your said churches? If that's what you have waving around and they're telling you it's the Star of David, there's no such thing. If they're telling you it's the Seal of Solomon, there's no such thing. Get out of there. It's the Star of Remphan. Acts 7:43. Read it. Cross-check everything that I'm telling you, friends, because that's Zionism. And what is Zionism? It's another political language, friends, a group of wicked men getting together, playing the victim, and they're going to right all the wrongs as they continuously try to create a war against God. It's exactly what you're seeing right
Walter
now.
Walter received the Balfour Declaration, and I have a copy here, and I wonder if I could possibly ask you to read it for us.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I'm going to put on my spectacles to make sure I read it.
This is Jacob Rothschild.
His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment of Palestine as a national home for the Jewish people, and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing should be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours, Arthur Balfour.
And here it is, the Balfour Declaration. What do you feel when you see it here?
I genuinely feel it's one of the most extraordinary moments in the history of the Jewish people. If you think it took 3,000 years to get to this. And then you say, how did this miracle happen? It's the most incredible piece of opportunism. I mean, if you think you had an impoverished would-be scientist, Chaim Weizmann, who somehow gets to England, meets a few people, including members of my family, seduces them. He has such great charm and conviction. He gets to Balfour, and he unbelievably persuades Balfour and Lloyd George, the Prime Minister, and most of the ministers, that this idea of the national home for Jews should be allowed to take place. I mean, it's so, so unlikely.
They're claiming to be what they're not, people.
A difficult battle with the British cabinet, and this letter goes through.
Okay, so there you have it. It doesn't get any clearer. I'm showing the image right now on social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, beforeitsnews.com, quote.com, my family created modern-day Israel. It's not the Israel of God, people. They're claiming to be what it is that they are not. If people would read their Bibles, we wouldn't even have this conversation right now. But if you're going to a particular place that calls itself a church, and they have a what they call a Star of David or a Seal of Solomon, you better get out of there, because there's no such thing biblically. It's all man-made. And when you listen to these heretics across the country that are pro-Zionist, get away from them, friends, and ask them to basically define what it is that is a Zionist. Because I just laid the axe to the root of the tree right here. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
In a world filled with confusion and deception, God's people need trustworthy news grounded in truth. At LibertySentinel.org, an incredible team of journalists led by me, Alex Newman, provide biblical news and analysis on faith, family, freedom, education, and the critical issues shaping our future. Join the tens of thousands of Christians who rely on our free newsletter and our news podcast to stay informed and equipped. It's all at LibertySentinel.org. That's LibertySentinel, S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org. Check it out today.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So, don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
John G. Lake rightly proposed a question to the modern church. Can you find anywhere in the scriptures that the gifts of the Holy Ghost were withdrawn from the Church of Christ? Neither can we. That's why you need to join us every Sunday at sonsoflibertymedia.com on the top left side of the page for church at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time every Sunday. That's sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page, every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time.
You know, there is a good, reliable source of uncompromising, conservative information, education, and inspiration. But you're probably missing out. Now, in our 27th year, Wisconsin Christian News provides hard-hitting news and commentary. And we're a national newspaper. The Wisconsin in Wisconsin Christian News simply means we're based, but our content is for all Americans. Request your free sample copy by emailing the publisher at rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com.
Every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the flawed flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we're too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. Robert Kennedy. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Martin Luther, the great reformer, stated, "When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on."
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Okay, so let's get to this, folks. I want to highlight the fact that you're not going to be judged on a curve. Because what happens is men, what they do is they adjust themselves to the standard of fallen man rather than the risen Christ. And that is completely backwards as to how we're supposed to do what it is that we're supposed to do and working on our own salvation. We go to the standard. I mean, we want perfect sanctification, then we better go by the standard that's set before us, but not by the standard of men in any sense of the word, and yet that's what we see people do. And what am I talking about? Well, just yesterday, somebody had, 4 hours ago, somebody had said to me, real maturity begins when you stop reacting to every situation with emotion and start responding with wisdom, patience, and self-control. Boy, isn't that something? Man, I'm sorry. I mean, I almost feel like I'm supposed to apologize for my ministry. I almost act like I'm supposed to apologize for what it is that I'm led to do. And this is a prime example of what I'm talking about. So what did I say? Of course, I had to respond because I'm contending for the faith, Jude 3 and 4. I said, isn't that interesting? I said, what was the problem? And I speak as a man, but what was the problem Jesus had? For example, Jesus entered into the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. How is it that they're not jealous over the people of God? How is it that they're okay with sacrilege? How is it that they're okay when they profane the things of the living God? How is it that they're not angry? How is it that they're not indignant? How is it that they don't hate the things that the Lord hates and loves the things that the Lord loves? I'm just asking. Because it doesn't line up with Scripture in any sense of the word. You know, my Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 10:6, it says this, and listen carefully, and having in a readiness to listen to the word used, to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Folks, I have been lit my whole life, but I'm lit now in a spiritual sense. I am a driven human being, and I always have been. And I figure that if I can go around and listen to people brag about how bad they were at sinners, rather than how great Christ is as a savior from sin, Matthew 1:21, I can set the record straight as well concerning not having excuses or using myself as to why I don't do what the word requires. I mean, look at Colossians 1:29 concerning the earnestness of the Spirit. Look at the earnestness of spirit. How often do you see that? But let me go over to 2 Corinthians 7:10 and 11 before I start to roll here. What it tells us in 10 of 7, chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. That means you're sorry for violating and transgressing God's moral law. Exodus 20. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. That means liberation from sin, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, now the question being proposed and spelled out for us concerning this exposition written by Paul in 2 Corinthians 7:10, he starts to itemize the fruits of repentance. And what does he say? After a godly sort, what does the fruit of godly repentance bring forth? What carefulness it wrought in you. What did King David say? He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. What did Jesus tell the woman that was brought to his feet as the law was a schoolmaster to do so in John 8? When he said, neither do I condemn thee. What did he say to her? The first thing he said is, go and sin no more. That's the Old Testament. It's fulfilled in the New Testament. I continue on. What carefulness it wrought in you. What clearing of yourselves. The Bible says that I offend no man. And offense isn't mean that I'm offending them in the sense of preaching the word of God against them. No, when I see a man in sin, the Bible tells me that I am not to hate my brother, but I'm to rebuke my brother and causing him to turn from his sin in Leviticus 19:17. The Bible also talks about in 1 Timothy, friends, chapter 6, that when people sin, you are to rebuke them in front of all, that others also may fear. Notice that was also found in the New Testament, which was a fulfilling of the Old. But again, clearing of myself in my ministry is making sure that as I warn men day and night to repent before a living God, that shows you and it also shows the Lord that I'm obedient unto him. And if it offends man because he wants to remain in his sin, then so be it, because I'm not here to offend God. Love worketh no ill. Their blood is off of my hands. What clearing of yourselves is another fruit. Yeah. Then it talks about indignation. Charles Spurgeon rightly said this, indignation, indignant about what? That what put Christ up on the cross. What put Christ up on the cross? Our sins. And if we're repentant of that, we're going to be indignant towards anything that would do it again. Isn't that right? And then it says, yeah, what fear? The fear of God and departing from wickedness and hating evil, pride, arrogancy, and the wicked way. The list goes on, friends. That's another fruit. What vehement desire? What vehement desire? We're talking about the Spirit of God. He's telling us the fruit of repentance is a vehement desire. Boy, where is that at? Here, let me give it to you this way. Because I find myself asking the question continuously as to what's going on in this country. Because again, make clear that you understand, I'm not talking to a third world country. I'm talking to you, America. And what am I talking about? A vehement desire. How is it that I continuously look around waiting to see somebody that walks in that vehement desire, which is fueled by the Holy Ghost, which that man is led by the Holy Ghost, concerning the sins of this nation that are an offense to the living God? Where's it at? Where's it at? How many times I've asked people around me, why is it that I'm the only one that seemed to be angry about that which offends God? Well, guess what? When you're born of the Spirit of God, guess what? You have his heart. How do I know that? Because when I look at Romans 5:5, pointing the finger and making reference to the Word of God to confirm what it is that I'm telling you by testimony, the Bible tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by who? By the Holy Ghost, not by the standard of men. No, but by the Holy Ghost. It's a holy, vehement love, friends. And yeah, then it talks about the fruit of zeal. The zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. Not only did David say that, but Christ said that. Are you zealous over the things of God? Are you offended by those that compromise and walk around as counterfeits under the dissimulation of being something that they're clearly not? Trying to convince the world that they're the standard of Christianity when nothing could be further from the truth? Yeah, that's the fruit of repentance. What zeal. And then guess what it says, friends? What revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. How is it that man is okay with offending God? By lowering the standard? We're not here to offend God. We're here to praise God. We're here to talk about the wonderful works of God. We're to be faithful witnesses that deliver souls, because open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. And faithful are the wounds of a friend, and kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Where is their love? Hey, don't rock the boat. Hey, come on, Bradley. You haven't learned anything yet. Well, by the looks of it, if I'm going to sit here and watch you and learn from you what Christianity looks like, I can tell you right now, that is exactly why I'm on the radio calling people out like you, because you are the furthest thing from an example of what a Christian is to be. And it's offensive. Where is the fruit of repentance? No, you want to tone everybody down so they all look at you because you're self-righteous. You know what's self-righteous, friends? People that have no regard for the Word of God. They don't make reference to the Word of God. They don't put their feet upon the rock. No, self-righteousness, friends, are those that are going about trying to establish a Christianity that looks like them. They're looking for followers. I'm here to tell you, I'm not. I'm a preacher. I'm driving you to the foot of the cross where you seek him and him alone. And until you receive the fullness of what he's promised you, don't you dare listen to what a man has to say, because that's how denominations start, Americans. And that's what's that's the problem that we have in this country. It's not a witness of a resurrected spirit any longer, which the enemy fears. No. These people are too busy trying to attack anybody that's actually on fire by the Spirit of God. And is that true? Oh, my goodness, folks. I've lived it for decades in ministry. I go out and about. I'm going without the camp and bearing the reproach of Christ. Well, these people are standing there with rocks waiting to pelt me with them, just like the disobedient children of Israel when Joshua and Caleb came back and showed them the fruit, the good fruit, and the message that they were well able to overcome. They don't want to hear that. They want you to mellow out. They don't want you doing what it is that they're not doing, friends, which is a lack of Christianity. Which is a lack of Christianity. Let me say it again, friends. You're not going to be judged according to, let me say it this way, a Billy Graham. You're not going to be judged according to a Jesse Duplantis or a Kenneth Copeland or a Creflo Dollar or a Joyce Meyer or these other heretics and these Zionists that are a part of the club. You're not going to be judged according to them. You're going to be judged according to man. And I want to tell you, the reason you have so many denominations in this country and worldwide is because of just that. You've left off Christ and you've taken up man. You've left off Christ and you've taken on man. That's why I say repent. We'll be right back.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
This is Sam. Are you tired of listening to radio show hosts, public speakers, do-nothing politicians, weak and effeminate men who do nothing but talk and talk about the issues we face in our country today, resolving nothing? So am I, and that's why I listen to Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty radio show. Bradley's message of hope and resolve is not only something broadcasted through the airwaves, but also something that he takes to the enemy's front door with a vehement passion. Believe me, I know. I've witnessed it every step of the way as his son for the last 18 years. I don't know about you, but in our country today, we need men now, more than ever, who are willing to take action and not hide behind the safety of a Facebook post from your fake name social media account. Bradley demonstrates his words through actions by preaching nationwide at churches, prisons, high schools, event centers, college campuses, and so much more. Step up to the plate and be the man or woman God called you to be and join Bradley Dean and others in this fight for our generation and future generations alike.
BBSRadio.com.
Governments, like clocks, go from the motion men give them. Wherefore, governments rather depend upon men than men upon government. Let men be good, and the government cannot be bad. But if men be bad, the government will never be good. William Penn. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSRadio.com. I'm going to go over to Jude really quick because I make reference to it quite a bit. I want to tell you what happens during the breaks, friends. I stick to my thoughts, and I get these little downloads, and these downloads are what I come back to. I want to show you what's foreign to these people that I'm highlighting right now. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified. The epistle's written to those that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. What's the first thing he says in verse 3? Beloved, when I gave all diligence, that word means painstakingly, to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. See, that's a thing of the past. I'll get to that in a moment. For there are certain men crept in unawares, America's filled with them, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, carnal lusts, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So that's what you're talking about, Bradley, when you're talking about Jude 3 and 4. Yes, absolutely. I want to show you something here because, again, you're not going to be judged on a curve. You're going to be judged by the standard. And I want to tell you this too. The greatest miracle that God can perform is to take an unholy man out of an unholy situation, clean him up, sanctify him, make him holy, and then send him back into that unholy situation. See, that's where men see the glory that grace provides in salvation. What am I talking about? Well, you just heard me say that men love to talk about they call it their conversions, and they'll spend 45 minutes to an hour talking about all the bad things they did. They call it sin, and I'm a sinner saved by grace, and they love to keep people in the hospital, right? But what's interesting about that is they talk about how bad they were, and they boast about it like they were proud of it. They make jokes of it. They make light of it. That's exactly what they do, right? See, that's not a testimony. And then for 15 or then for 5 or 10 minutes, they talk about how Jesus saved them. And then that's all you have to do is sit back and say, well, what did he save you from? Because it still sounds like you love your sin. I don't see the old man dead at the cross. No, I see you dead in your sin and boasting in your sin. The way glory grace is this way. Okay? This is the way that grace glories. Is through your salvation and redemption that Jesus Christ provides for us. See, my boast is not how bad of a sinner I was. My boast is how great of a savior from my sin he is. That is the difference between a genuine salvation testimony and one that is not. And I see him all the time. But again, what people love to do is they love to talk about themselves. They love to, Christianity is not about you people, it's about him. As a matter of fact, the first thing Jesus said is deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. But that's all we hear is people talking about themselves and what is God going to give them and all their hurts. And like I said, they love to stay in the hospital. Yes, a church is for sinners. But you know what? If we're saved by grace, we don't stay in the hospital. We get an understanding that that hospital is also a barracks to raise us up to become disciples, to get out there and get busy on the battlefield. See, people don't understand that. And there is a reason that the Lord gave us armor, spiritual armor, metaphorically, right? In none other than what? Ephesians 6, starting in verse 12. Sorry, folks, my phone started to ring. But in saying that, and that armor is for the front, not the back. Let me show you something here. When studying ministry such as that of Martin Luther, the great reformer, the German reformer, back in the 1400s, I found that he said of himself, now compare to what? Compare the characteristics of this apostolic prophet, Martin Luther, that I'm going to highlight right now to what you see today, okay? I found that he said of himself that he was rough, boisterous, stormy, and altogether warlike. He said, I'm born to fight against innumerable monsters and devils. I must remove stumps and stones and cut away thistles and thorns and clear wild forests. That's what Martin Luther said concerning his characteristics as to how the world observed who he was. He was apostolic and he was a prophet. He was called to slay sin, not to play with it. Hosea 6:5. Now, I ask, how does this match the true character of the apostolic prophet Martin Luther today? In his cherry-picked out-of-context quotes, out-of-character depictments of in movies and paintings they are made of him, they have clearly softened down his person to the extreme to meet today's modified version. Again, Martin Luther said, "Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all battlefields besides is mere flint in disgrace if he flinches at that one point." You know, that one point is what's avoided by men that call themselves preachers today, a good portion of them. They always have to play it safe. They always have to be a part of a good old boy club, but that's not what the Spirit of God teaches us. Not at all. It seems that in the present state of church affairs in America, instead of arising to the level of expectation as followers of Christ and in Christ, men want to remove the cross and making their posterity, their children, into the same image as them, enemies of the cross. And a great way to explain that is to look at the report card of the church, namely the culture. And it reminds me of what John Wesley rightly said when he said, what one generation, the older generation is he's talking about, tolerates, their kids, the next generation will embrace. That's right. Luke 7:35. What did the great English field prophet John Wesley again? He was born in 1703. He died on March 2nd of 1791. He preached 90% law and 10% grace, Galatians 3:24. John had been accredited for saying such things to his evangelical students as, "When you preach, people are either going to get angry or they're going to get saved." Wow. I wonder who his standard was. Did you know that John was kicked out of the established church for confronting the heretical teachings of the day? Just like any other real prophet, which the Lord in turn used to push him to the masses where he faithfully preached. And it was said that after John Wesley's death, congregants said that the accurately painted pictures of him were too rough in countenance. The actual paintings of him looked like one tried in the fire. In contrast, so instead of painting John Wesley for who he was in all actuality, what they did is they simply accommodated and appeased the religious hypocrites of the day by painting an effeminate, softened, and toned-down version of John Wesley. And again, this is, of course, it was painted to adjust John Wesley to the likes of themselves. Not this boy. Not this anointing is not for sale, folks. John Wesley also famously said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth." Amen. Amen. How does this line up with what one observes in the American church today? Puritan founding forefather Roger Sherman said back in the 1700s, he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He went through the War of Independence. He warned his posterity, you and me, during the inception of the United States, not to forget who we are and where it is that we came from. Roger Sherman said, "Sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and who they are, their history, and no longer remember that the country they love, the institutions they cherish, and the freedoms that they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men." Whoa, doesn't this remind you, friends, of what Jesus said of John the Baptist in Matthew 11:7-9? What did you go out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken with the wind? A fraidy cat? A capitulator? A pansy? No, he said, but what did you go out to see? He said, a man clothed in raiment? He said, those that wear soft clothing are in king's houses, but went what you out to see? A prophet, he said, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. And more than a prophet. He was the greatest prophet born of women. And what was his message? It's the church's message today. John pointed his finger at the corrupt king and called him out for all of his evils in Luke 3:19. And his message to me and you, and the message to the church, to the world, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That has not changed, nor are you going to tone it down, because as it talks about in Micah 2:7, you are not going to straighten or control the Spirit of God. God, it's not going to happen. The Lord's going to have his way one way or another, regardless if it's a donkey or a man. He's going to have his way. And if it's not a donkey or a man, he'll use the rocks to cry out as well. And don't think for one moment, friends, the creator of all things can't do it, because he can. And he is, even right now. Love you by what we do, folks. Love the topic. I want to say this, too. I don't need any emails. You've had 1 hour to call in, and you didn't do it. So I don't want your emails. If you want to talk, talk in front of everybody. That's how we play here. We do everything before the world. Love you by what we do. See ya.